Congress has finished hammering out the details of the 2017 Defense Authorization Bill. The bill is scheduled to go to the House floor by Friday. Within the text are some big changes to the organization of the Defense Department, to TRICARE, and military pay. Federal News Radio's reporter Scott Massioni talked with our deputy editor, Jared Serbu, about what's inside that legislation.
So, Scott, this is a massive bill, as always, many hundreds of pages, as always, with many hundreds of provisions. We obviously won't cover them all, but we'll get to as many as we can here. Let's just start with the top line numbers. What did they arrive at in terms of total dollars, and how did they get there?
Well, the NDAA has about $618.7 billion for defense spending for 2017. That's coming in about $35 billion more than what the president requested. So part of that money is the OCO spending. It's called Overseas Contingency Operations. That's usually for wartime funding, but the Defense Department and president wanted to put some of the base budget in there so they could fit everything they wanted under the sequestration caps. So Congress, they also had some extra things they wanted to add in. So they added in $3.2 billion more into OCO. That's something that the president hasn't been too excited about, considering he wants defense levels to raise at the same pace as domestic levels. So what they used this extra $3.2 billion for was to increase the active duty Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force, also the reserve components and some of the National Guard components. So what we're seeing is about 16,000 more active duty Army soldiers than what was expected in 2017. If you remember, the Army's drawing down over the next couple of years. So the Marines also get about 3,000 more troops, and Marines, and the Air Force is seeing about 4,000 more airmen.
So we have seen some veto threats, is probably a stronger word than I want to use, but some indications from the White House that they were not happy with some of these proposals when the NDAA first started moving through the House and the Senate. But that's been, 4 or 5 months ago at this point. What's our sense as of today, the likelihood of which this bill actually gets a veto?
Right. Well, I talked to House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry yesterday morning, and he said that he doesn't think there's a big veto threat now. He thinks they took a lot of the contentious things out of the bill that are really going to make the White House kind of squirm a little bit. So the one thing that the Democratic side says that they're still pretty upset about is the $3.2 billion, which I brought up before. That's because they want to keep the defense spending about the same as the domestic spending. They think it's unfair that defense gets a little bit of a loophole when it comes to sequestration and the domestic side doesn't. So, you know, we don't really know what Barack Obama's going to do, but it's a possibility he could veto it, but it's not looking as strong as it was way back in the summer.
And Scott, on the Senate side in particular for this year's NDAA, there was a lot of focus on, as Senator McCain said, reforming, revisiting the 1986 Goldwater-Nichols Act. So some changes to the organization of the Defense Department. How did that all shake out in the conference report that came out yesterday?
Yeah, this is one of the bigger items that was in the NDAA. What it does is it takes the acquisition department, which is in charge of billions and billions of dollars for research and development and for procurement. It breaks the position of Undersecretary of Acquisition Technology and Logistics into two separate positions. That position is currently held by Frank Kendall, but what this new provision does is it splits his position into one for research and development, and the second position is for just regular day-to-day acquisition and procurement. The idea behind this is to kind of free up this research and engineering secretary to be more innovative, to do engineering. And one of the staffers, when they were releasing this bill, this final language of this bill, he said, "There's no private company that has a research and development guy and a procurement guy mixed into one position. That's because it's just too much for one person to handle. It's a lot of bureaucracy to go through." So what they're hoping is that they can kind of keep the United States technological superiority by giving by freeing up the day-to-day kind of business that the acquisition officers would have to do.
All right, another big item in this year's NDAA were some reforms to TRICARE, the military's managed health insurance system. We've already started to see some statements of concern out of some of the military service organizations about that. What exactly did the House and Senate agree on for TRICARE?
Right. Yeah, this one raised a lot of eyebrows. The House version of the bill wanted to add premiums and copays for family members of active duty soldiers and for retirees and their beneficiaries. What they decided to do in this final part of the bill, they said, let's not make the active duty member family members have to pay anything, but the retirees and their beneficiaries, they're going to have to add some money in. At the same time, they're expanding a lot of the benefits that TRICARE members are getting. They're going to have urgent care access up to 11 p.m. They're going to eliminate referrals for urgent care access. They're going to standardize appointment scheduling. So it's going to be a lot easier for people to get the care that they need. That's also going to cost a lot more money. Right now, DOD is spending about $52 billion a year on healthcare service for families and members and their members. So what this cost is obviously growing a lot. And just adding these retirees in there and getting their premiums and copays might not be keeping that costs down 100%. So in the future, Congress is going to have to do something. It looks like right now they're kind of kicking the can down the road. But, you know, the Senate Armed Services Personnel Subcommittee Chairman Lindsey Graham, he said something that was pretty poignant, is that, and that's in 20 years, 18% of the defense budget is going to be military health care related. So this is a big item that is probably going to be coming up in the next NDAA as well.
All right, Scott, in our last minute or so, let me ask you about one more item, which is the status of U.S. Cyber Command. A lot of conversation about its fate this year in terms of whether it would be its own combatant command or whether it would be split from the NSA. What did the House and Senate do there?
Right. Well, as you know, cyber is kind of the biggest, hottest item in defense right now. And Cyber Command is going to become its own combatant command if the president signs the bill. But it will not be separated from the NSA for now. Right now, the leader of Cyber Command is also the director of the National Security Agency. So right now, Cyber Command, it got its first wartime assignment this year. It was fighting ISIL. It's trying to interrupt their ability. But, you know, Cyber Command is growing heavily. It needs more funding. It needs more procurement powers. And they think that making it a full combatant command is going to give it that.
All right. Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni. Good summary. Thanks for bringing us up to speed.
Thank you.
Find all of our DoD coverage at federalnewsradio.com.